Blog Talk Radio.
Divine, all blessed,
peace and love, joy and prosperity, unity and community. You are now listening live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Hudu Obeya Bokor, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my walk, my works, my teaching along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, Vudu Tai, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding, the place from where I begin and the place from where I crystallize and realize all endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny. And I alone create and co-create my divine reality. And so it is. Ashe.
Thank you.
Hi, Bobo. Indeed, we do give thanks today, this Monday, February 13th, 2011. I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum universally from the working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Hoodoo Central, in this legendary, historic, beautiful, enchanted city of New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist hoodoo Obeah life path and journey, passing down the great Obeah stick along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, and minerals. We do appreciate your continued support and listening audience here each and every day at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time for the Power Lunch, and always in archive at your leisure and convenience 24 hours a day. Hoodoo New Orleans Hoodoo Secrets and Recipes here with the Divine Prince. My live listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. When you are ready with your question, comment, or request, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. This will alert me that there is a caller in queue, and I will address you momentarily. And do be mindful of my website, where I can be reached virtually 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, operating in 360 degrees of well-documented revelation and manifestation at www.houseofthedivineprince.com. Know that I can also be reached at www.keen.com. That's KEEN.com/ Divine plus Prince. I can also be found at liveperson.com, www.liveperson.com/divine-prince, and also at destle.com, destle.com/the-divine-prince. And, of course, these links can all be found on my website at houseofthedivineprince.com. They can be found on my Facebook account at facebook.com/thedivineprince. They can all be found on my main Keen profile at keen.com/divineplusprince. And, of course, on my cam page, mycampage.com/thedivineprince. And do continue to recognize the many qualified ministers, spiritualists, psychics, practitioners who can be located within my various virtual temple groups, beginning in the center of the first page of my website, www.houseofthedivineprince.com. Those virtual temple group practitioners can be found on mycampage.com/thedivineprince and on my main Keen profile, keen.com/divine-plus-prince. House of the Divine Prince, my House of the Divine Prince Keen group, we are true friends, divine intervention, divine joy and prosperity, divine love and relationship, divine manifestation, divine revelation, and guiding voices of divination. We do appreciate your continued reverence, support, and love for these powerful, powerful practitioners, as well as those voices that can be found within the King's Chamber and the Queen's Chamber, respectfully. Do take a look at my website. I have updated just about every page within the site. I've moved a few things around, added some more things, so please do take the time, if you will, at your leisure and convenience, to check out my website, where I can be reached virtually 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, specializing in doing battle, difficult and block situations of every type and endeavor, and I specialize in guaranteed results. I will be forward today this Osa Ogun for you Ifa practitioners, the day that we reverence Papa Legba in Voodoo, Hoodoo, and Obeya, Ilegba, Ishu, Ibarra, all the many names that we know this powerful force of the crossroads. In Dominican Voodoo, Papa Legba is the cosmic gatekeeper, as he is in Haitian Voodoo. He is saluted first, even though he is not the spirit that usually mounts during the ceremony. But he is seen as an old man and also a small child. And in the same manner, in Haitian Voodoo, usually wears clothes made out of rather poor material, sackcloth, not very flashy, not very fancy, but a leader of all the division. And in Dominican Voodoo, he is seen and known to have 21 divisions. In Ifa, Lukomi, Santeria, Hoodoo, he is known to have many divisions or many paths or personalities, if you will. As to in Voodooing, though we generally recognize him as Atiban Legba, it is Papa Loco and his counterpart, if you will, Kalfo, who will usually speak for Papa Legba. So we will come back with more on our Crossroads Monday with Papa Legba and Who's Knocking on My Floor, on one of my most favorite books, if you will, on the definitive understanding of Ishu and Legba and all of its many manifestations in the Pan-African diaspora, and particularly here in the Americas. I welcome each and every one of you. Remember, our listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967. I will be forward with you. Please do hold with me. Don't lose patience. I will get to the phone lines at some point in the near future. I will be forward. All is indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Azunke parin legba he, azunke parin legba he. Parin legba me la jan ka se wosho, azunke valre le parin vodou legba.
Azunke parin legba
he, azunke.
Bye. sorio abajo lobi, orio abajo lofi, orio abajo lote. Omi tuto, ana tuto, tuto y le, tuto y male, tuto de guanto loco. Bobo arao no y cola bagua en olocha la ciencia de fuche. Boqui kilo, mayor dumi es chubi, es chumigua, es chubanfiosi, can periquito, perequitín en bolo. Bobo arao no de chuto luz, bobo arao no y cola bari, sola pedroso, bobo arao no. Toda la ciencia con las balaguas moles guá, que están en el mundo, la verdad, en belé solo de mare. Él es guá la roya, vara el ayikío. Vara atento, nuto, nu, manico, manico, ndolo. Y cuye letu. Vara aquí, hielo, chafra, la goma, cual la mugua está. Padre mío, celestial, la goya, llama la sin cancumi. Aquí está su modo, usted, chumbanigüe, rindiéndole mofor y bala, y ahí el dumbo que es dum. Que la bendición de mi padrino Salacó siempre me acompañe. Y que la bendición de usted siempre me acompañe. Con Ávila, Sodi, de. Páguenos libre y discú, araye. Tilla, tilla, bobosó, burló, el uno, fin, fin. Todas las cosas malas que hay en el plano de la tierra, Padre mío celestial, usted nos libre.
In this divine moment, we lose divine peace and love, wisdom and understanding. We bind that which would seek to divide, conquer, destroy, and enslave within us and around us. Viper and vampire, hater and perpetrator, rasta imposter, faking Jamaicans, liar, pacifiers, rabid rabbis, pimping preachers, armchair revolutionaries, overnight psychic spiritualists, backstabbers, false prophets, and fearmongers, strong arm proselytizers, parasitic politicians, and all those who would seek to hinder, harm, destroy, and enslave progress, spirit evolution, and forward movement. We bind all manner of danger, seen and unseen, evil known and unknown. And we loose divine light and consciousness, truth and power, unity and community onto our earth plane dimension for divine manifestation and revelation. We vibrate now with our ascended ancestors and Aguns and Gede and Galede and all those who have gone on before us in transition and which would assist us now in all that is good and righteous. Here in this present moment in divine time space, we forever reverberate and reiterate their names and leaven our lives with their divine wisdom and presence, spirit forces seen and unseen, ancestors known and unknown. May we forever endear their names, praise and glory, and not bring shame, dishonor, and disgrace. Shall we manifest our highest good and vibration here and now in this divine moment in time space and realize our ultimate destiny to change the world, to change so-called civilization, to change ourselves as we now know it. As we enter this hallowed and sacred ground, let us be mindful in our inner walk, work, and pronunciation, and that they might project upon and recreate and reshape the reality of all towards that which is pure, true, and authentic. As we enter the inner sanctums of Hoodoo Central, in the presence of all who stand with us, ever stood with us, will stand with us in divine light and illumination, peace and protection, we offer water, libation, for the rebirthing, rejuvenation, regeneration of the spirit, power, and forces of our ancestors. We light and illuminate our candles, a constant and fervent prayer unto our spirit guides and protectors, a reminder of a presence of light even in darkness, a guiding lamp and amplification of our soul's journey through the darkness of this underworld, we burn and offer frankincense and myrrh to cleanse and purify our light bodies and our intentions, ever pure in our motivations, ever pure in our inner standing, ever pure in our dealings with one another and ourselves, ever pure in our connection to spirit. So hear the sounding, chiming harmonies and vibrations of this divine, crystalline, universal reverberation, reordering and rebalancing us all ever steady back into light and God consciousness, reminding us that all is indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veil, for it is all just an illusion, just a test, and one of the greatest divine mystery of this life cycle. divine, all blessed, we indeed appreciate and enjoy your continued contributions to this community by way of Facebook, Twitter, the share this button and its access to 335 social networking and blogging sites, as well as your continued and humble ability to call, write, email, and send your donations. I, for one, am truly grateful, as well as our extended community, for your continued support for New Orleans, Congo Square, the Divine Prince, and House of the Divine Prince. I am going to go to the phone line. Skype caller, your line is open. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Greetings, Devon. This is Omo Yemaya calling from New York.
Alafia, peace and blessings. How are you, beloved?
I'm doing good. I called in to say hello and just to ask you a question, because you are most definitely on your path and doing your thing, and to keep in alignment with your Alegba Eshu energy, if you will. Speaking of destiny, you know, there are people in our traditions who, of course, are destined to become priests or laos or things of this nature. But, Divine, when did you realize that it was your destiny to be a reader, a consultant in the Egun world, if you will? Were there synchronicities that Alegba Eshu gave you besides reading? Because, you know, we read for everything. But were there synchronicities for this way of life? Because there are just some people in this tradition who are, this is not only what they're supposed to do as priests, but they are also, this is like 24/7, 365, what they're supposed to be doing, helping humanity, and they are not supposed to be in the corporate world, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So how did that happen for you? I'm just curious.
Well, it's simple, but it's also complicated. And, of course, I'm going to explain what I mean. If I were to be literal, I was born with the call.
Right.
Now, I didn't, of course, gain true understanding, wisdom, knowledge, initiation, all of that stuff until into my teens and my 20s. But the call, you mentioned specifically in your question about reading, divination, prophecy, and all those things literally came with me at birth. Now, we were in the church, of course, First Baptist at a very young age, and then in my later adolescence and preteens, we moved into sanctified, if you understand what that is. There's Pentecostal, there's apostolic. We were apostolic. Speaking in tongues, the whole nine. Not baptizing in titles, but baptizing in the name, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the whole shtick, if you will. But the gift of reading, of divining, of prophesying was there. And it caused both positives and negatives for me at a very, very young age. In the sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, instead of eating lunch, I'm in the music room or the drama room doing readings for other kids at such a really young age. And this was even before I knew Eshu, before I knew the traditions formally. Of course, that led me to the library. I can remember many battles between my mother and I. Both my parents are ordained within sanctified paths. Both of them are elders in the church. My mother's an evangelist, a well-known evangelist and Christian writer. So there was some conflict at first in the house, just finding certain books in my possession. They got rid of them. They threw them out. You know, we went to see the bishop, you know, the whole nine yards about what I was being drawn to, what the call was. But it was also being called from within the family. There were older people in the family that we had a very limited exposure to, One in particular I can think of was Aunt Vicky, and we loved Aunt Vicky. And Aunt Vicky was one of our favorite great aunts and one of my father's favorite aunts, his mother's mother's sister. So, you know, there was a mixed relationship there. When Aunt Vicky came around, she was going to talk about hoodoo. She was going to talk about root work. She was going to talk about conjure. She was going to talk about our family migrating with the Seminoles from Florida into the bayous, into Bogalusa, Louisiana, and into Mississippi, and ghost talk and all that kind of stuff. And my family at that time was not, you know, they were not well with that at all. And somewhere in the 80s into the 90s, another segment of my family that was not sanctified somehow went Jehovah Witness, which brought a whole nother dynamic, a negative dynamic, I'm going to be honest about it, to the family, but also to our relationships with each other, and particularly towards me, now marked as the black sheep of my generation, and though many other issues were going on, not only within our house, but within our church and within our family and within our circle, I became the symbolic problem because of this proclivity, if you will. Now, understand, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, now understand, my father is a 33rd, a Mason.
Wow.
They didn't have an issue with that. Okay. And he indeed was one of the first to sort of light on the fact that there was something going on with me, and in attempted to, in my opinion, beat that out of me at a very, very young age, which, of course, did not avail. You cannot affect spirit. And I think that is also important. There are people out there who sort of adopt the religion and all its various paths, and then they sort of adopt a deity, a Risha, Lawa, and even a position. And there are those who have their eyes set on Babalawo, have their eyes set on Ianifa, have their eyes set on Bokur, Hogan, Mambo, from the very beginning. And it's a part of their ego nature, as opposed to a real fulfillment of the spirit nature. And all of this, as you know, is a part of the mysteries of Legba. It's not that he seeks to trick us, but he definitely seeks to make us see our ego, see our humility, see our pride, see our gratitude in the most realest terms in any given situation. That's what the real trick, if you want to use that word, is, as it associates with Papa Legba. He's not trouble for the sake of trouble. He's the mirror, if you will, that causes us to see ourselves for what and who we truly are. You may or may not know the story, but Legba crowned himself. He's the one deity that crowned himself, made his own crown, because he felt he deserved it, but also because there's that, again, that symbolic reference to vanity. And I say all this because, let me quickly say, it's within line with spirit that you would even bring this up today. I'm going through a challenge right now, a personal challenge, as it relates to exactly what you just said. This is my vocation. This is 24/7. But the flesh, the carnality, the ego, that part of us that's still affected by society and culture and all of this stuff, still wants to sort of fit in rather than just accept the call, accept the role, and not be sort of disgruntled, to use the safest word I can find right now, when people around me don't necessarily line up to that, because this is my call, my vocation, not necessarily theirs. So all of this has to go into play, in my opinion, and that which the elders gave to me, before you even get to the point of going to the diviner, whether that be the Babalawo or whomever, and have your palm nuts read that you are to be, you know, initiated into the priesthood. And I think the priesthood or priestesshood is a part of it, but it's still separate from the gift of divining.
Yes.
And there are many there are many roles within this that we all have to play. But that one of divining is a very intense, evolved, dedicated path. There's some misunderstandings about it. For instance, we all know that Ifa is available to everybody now by way of the Internet. So there are people who have sort of adopted the traditions, whether
mm-hmm.
it be through Call Me Santeria or what have you, but have not bothered to really get formally involved and initiated so that they truly understand the secrets of the mystery. So again, there are those who want to be Ianifa, there are those who want to be Babalawo, and don't understand that once taking on that role, that path, and being divine to operate within that path, you sort of lay down the other deities to just read. And it becomes a 24-hour vocation. Whereas priest, Orisha priest, and even Ianifa to some degree, spend more time working individually or collectively with the deities, the initiating, how to serve them, how to feed them, how to honor them, and ultimately how to work the Igbo. When the divine, or particularly the Babalawo, and the Ianifa divine, they in the Yawo, they also give an Igbo a remedy that has to be applied, which involves all these other aspects of the family. Again, your herbalist, your healer, your priest, if you will, of the various heads of the various deities. Now, in Budoan, and even Hudu and Obeya, that changes greatly in that divining is not given just specifically to one person. A Mambo, a Hogan, a Bokur can go into trance and horse channel for the Lawa. And the Lawa, the deities will come down, Ogu, Legba, Simbi will all come down and speak directly through the practitioner, which opens up a whole nother book on how do I approach your question, being called to read, accepting that as my path. And as you said, it's almost impossible to do that and still be a part of the system, still work your 9-to-5 and then, you know, somehow you're going to decompress and cleanse and get yourself together and then you're going to read, you know, for how many hours?
Indeed.
I know practitioners within these commercialized sites, King, Live Person, you know, who set their little schedule, you know, they have their quote-unquote lives, and then they, you know, read at night, or, you know, I find that peculiar, to say the least. And spirit cannot be scheduled. Spirit cannot be controlled in that way. There are times when spirit speaks and I don't answer the phone, I don't answer the door, I don't go out. I'm writing, and recording spirit. Again, in Budoan, Hudu, Obeya, where there's trance work involved in communicating with spirit, then you have to have an arm bearer or an assistant, someone to record while you bring down the information. Even with your Opan, the Ifa, your tablet, the Ifa, your cowrie, your delagoon, your obi colonite. It's a really involved process to not only honor the tools used in the divination, but the spirits that speak through and govern the tools used in the divination. The fact that you would even ask that question suggests a call for me.
Check the reason why, I don't know why, Divine, it's just, I get on the air and I just be telling you my business. I don't know why,
indeed.
I don't know why that is, but it's like when I need to talk to you and I call in, I always, it's like food for the soul. It's very strange, but anyhow, You know, well, I am a priestess of Yemayan Lukumi. But mm-hmm. as of late, Divine, I've been getting information from the ethers, from, and do I dare say, from what is presented to me as an archangel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one
mm-hmm.
it's one specific archangel and things of this nature. And an actual Apollo priestess, she confirmed this for me. So it's like,
mm-hmm.
where, how does one, obviously this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and or else this being wouldn't be coming to me and coming through me, if you will, in order to bring certain information down on Earth. But the question is, how do I begin? I can't even articulate it, Divine. It's like what you said, being a full-time spiritual individual, diviner, and working. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not even making sense, but
I do. And please, if I may, I want to ask you some questions. They're not judgmental, but I need some clarity. Now, when you speak of having received Yemaya, did she receive a mouth or hand or cowries in which that you divine with her?
Absolutely. I have head and, Lukumi system, you get everything. You don't just get head and foot. I mean, I've been initiated for almost a decade.
Okay, so hold on, slow down. Okay, I get that. So does the archangel come through the cowries, or is it coming through some other form of communication?
It ain't coming through the cowries, baby. They're actually presenting themselves to me as a full-form being. Yeah, that's why I said this is a dilemma. This ain't... yeah, this is
okay,
like...
That makes sense to me. It also, you know, clarifies some other things that I don't even have to ask now. You're definitely being called to divine. I think what needs to be clear, though, is are you being called to speak just for this deity? And sort of in the modern world, the title for that is a channeler, which is different
right.
from a reader or a diviner. Or
right.
are you being called to read, I'm going to give an A and a B. A, for this deity and for this deity to speak to other people, or B, for this deity and maybe a host of other spirits outside of just Yemaya. Or do you even have an understanding at this point?
It's not. It's something. It's an Egun thing. It's very separate from Orisha, because you know, I am. Even though I'm a Lukumi priestess, I deal with Egun. I'm very, very close to the ancestors. So this is not something that deals in the form of deity in Orisha. It deals in the form of Egun,
I get that, beloved. What's not clear to me is, one, how is the spirit speaking to you?
Ah, that's what you mean.
Yeah, that's important.
Voice.
How is it speaking to you? Okay, and is it speaking, is the information... Are you keeping a journal of what's being said?
Indeed.
Is the information relevant to you or to other people?
To humanity.
Yes, so you may very well be channeling, and that's different than divining.
Right.
Readers typically are answering questions for humanity. How do I move forward? What is my block? Why is my child sick? You know, why am I losing money even though I'm constantly feeding? You know, that's what diviners do. Who is my head? What Orishas walk with me? Who are my guardian angels? And what are they saying to me? That is what readers and diviners are supposed to do.
Indeed.
Channelers, on the other hand, deal like what you're describing, can deal with Orisha, can deal with Lawa, can deal with deity, but they tend to speak with archangels, spirits, deities, beings, and then there's an information that's being conveyed, if you will, which can be journaled or put into a book or put into some form to be disseminated, if you will, to the masses. Reading tends to be very individualistic. Channeling tends not to be quite as individualistic. Now, I can
only
think of
one
example.
Have you ever heard of that, Fine?
Absolutely.
Isn't that crazy? Well, I mean, maybe it's because people don't talk about it. I mean, just imagine. Now, you know, I'm just saying in the general senses that you, of course, you're a priest and so on and so forth, and people know that you deal with Egun, and then you say, oh, yeah, I channel an archangel. I mean, people look at you. It's like I've had to sort of kind of keep this secret. Well, the shit ain't secret now because I'm speaking over the air, but I'm just like, how does one deal?
Well, see, sort of in my explanation is also the understanding of what you're talking about. Because, see, people go into these paths, again, they sort of light on or look at or focus in on a specific thing or energy that they want to operate with, and then they sort of gather what they need for that. So many of the, I'll say, practitioners that you may even be asking about this don't have a clue or do not know how to communicate with this type of energy, which is why I'm asking you very specific questions about how the presence is making itself known, how is it speaking, what type of information is being gathered. Let me digress just for a second, but it'll bring clarity to this. Excuse me. As a Christian, we're taught to test the spirit. But that law really applies to all religions, particularly within Pan-Africanism and Pan-African-based religions, because we do operate within a realm of diverse deities. So it's important to always test the spirit, test the authenticity of the spirit as well as the message that the spirit is conveying. That will often tell you what the job is, what the role is. Now, readers, again, tend to be more focused on human endeavors. Like I said, early on, people were coming to me with their stuff, and then I sought spirit to find some explanation for, some answer for. It sounds to me that what you're being given may even be a book, a manuscript, information that you need to well record, well document it, and then endeavor to disseminate at some point. Am I being clear?
Indeed.
So if I can be of any assistance to you, please do let me know. I'm here for you.
Well, I always know that, you know, you're going to tell me the truth of what is, and you're absolutely correct. And when I tested this being, if you will, when they came to me in my waking state and also in the dream time, I got the same answer and the same feeling. So I know that what I'm receiving is authentic and true in nature. But it's not, as someone said to me, it's not energies that, like, other people deal with, so they're not going to understand
right.
What you're talking about, because it's not in the realm of the earthbound, if you will, beings that have been here or are here.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And those type of communications, too, can always be perfected with crystal. If you're not already doing so, you should be working with more crystal now. Again, the Orishas tend to speak through cowries and palm nuts. These frequencies that you're operating on now speak through light and vibration. And crystal, particularly amethyst, clear quartz, citrine, and topaz can greatly elevate that that level of communication.
I'd say for you, and loosen progression to your egg wounds, because I just got a new crystal, and when I asked the question to test this being, it turned into a crystal of light. Ha ha! As crazy as that sounds, that's exactly what they did. So, yeah, no, you're on point, Luce.
Well, again, I indeed give thanks to your spirits and your guide, your Egun Goons, and those who are operating with you now in your endeavor. And know that I'm here to assist you.
Well, thank you, Divine, for answering that question and for being here, because I just needed someone to bounce that off of, and you're a beacon. So thank you. I appreciate it, Divine. I send you a lot of love.
Ashe, Ashe. All is a blessing.
Well, the fire of the bun is a must, but no one can burn it twice. Because we find out, you know, enough of them. All right, where the people in real life? Enough of them are, enough of them are, enough of them are.
Yabalu wansi yago, sobo alu mondi yae. Ati bon lek bakre le kata uloa, kata uloa ki mache wawelo.
Yabalu wansi yago,
I'm not afraid.
We give thanks. I do apologize for that glitch during the previous song. I had actually left my mic open, so you might have gotten some feedback or some reverberation during that. But there are many names that identify God as owner and distributor of the vital forces of life. Ashe, authority, power with all creatures without which nothing can exist. The first two and most important names, Ishu and Ilegbara, go a long way in defining the role of this office. Ishu meaning the gathering in a great multitude or gatherer of great multitude, and Ilegbara, owner of vital force. Ishu is not just the guardian of vital life force, but is synonymous with it. Ilegbara can be thought of as being the activator of DNA, which is made up of the four nuclearides, the four building blocks that are used to design everything in nature. Ishu is the meeting point, the crossroads that put things together and pull together things that are apart, in opposition, and seem not to agree. He is the agent that causes the individual natures of eggs, milk, and flour to be forever combined to become dough. So Ishu causes things and men to work together in harmony or suffer the consequences of not doing so. He causes bees and men to swarm, creating highly structured and complex social organizations. He is the cement that structure and complex foundation, if you will, that holds all things in our society together. Ishu makes us realize our need for one another. Yet, Ishu, sharply contrasting provocative aloneness, acts to promote our consciousness of the reality of our solitary nature in humankind existence and in the realms of spirit. We come into this world alone and we leave this world alone in one dimension of reality, while at the same time coming in and going without with a host of ancestors and guiding forces and spirits that create this complex elixir, for lack of better words, that is life and potent with life. So the material world changes, but power, Ashe, mathematics, do not change. Orishas or divinities and Odus, the medical elixir pots of knowledge, which are the literal words and voices of the spirit, but also the power in which we infuse the remedies themselves, the evos that are created in the traditions under Yoruba, Ifa, Santeria, Lokomi, and the very purpose for which we have divination, as well as our marriage relationship to the deities themselves, so that we can synchronize earth with heaven, physicality with spirituality, and bring about the union of that which is supposedly inanimate to that which is most adamant, which is that which dwells and operates and has its beginning and ending within the realm of spirit. As I said earlier in the show, within the Dominican voodoo path, it is said to be 21 divisions of Ishu or Ilegua. In voodoo, we acknowledge Atiban, Legba, the Legba, the crossroads of the day, if you will, under the sun, and Kalfo, the Legba of the crossroads of night, if you will, under the power of the moon. We also acknowledge his archetypes as an old man and a little child, which can be commonly seen throughout most of the past, if not all of the past, within the Pan-African diaspora, which recognize and acknowledge Legba. I'm going to talk just a little bit about the more commonly known forms of Legba, particularly as they relate to Lokomi, Santeria, Ifa, Yoruba. Probably one of the most commonly referred to Legba is Ishu Aloroye. Ishu, the owner of titles of honor, or Ishu Aloroye, Ishu, owner of constant complaints. This role of Legba is good for the home and lives near the door. Again, I would dare say the most common, if not one of the most common forms of Legba that we would find in our modern cultures and societies is Ishu Aloroye, who sits behind the front door of the home. Aloroye loves to eat sweets of all kinds. Children can't partake in the candy. He loves toys, gifts which placate their childlike nature, while at the same time liking things that placate and play to the adult nature, the cigar, the rum, money, of course, cowries, which are placed with him, either in the dish or separate in a dish on the shrine for Aloroye. Aloroye also, I would say, is a little spoiled, likes tricks and jokes, and has a tendency towards mischief, but it's not as fearsome, if you will, as some of the other paths of Legba. Aloroye guards the door of Obatala's house and is the guardian and protector of Osun. I would reinterpret that to say that Aloroye tends to guard the door of those who have a head, symbolic by the usage of the word Obatala, meaning those who have traditionally initiated into many of these paths will have or will have had some contact with Ishu Aloroye. Those within the secular world who tend to adopt deities, adopt Lawa, adopt Risha, chances are would not even know who Aloroye was and would more likely than not be operating under other forms of Legba or Ilegba rather than Ishu Aloroye. Aloroye also has a direct relationship with Osun, who is the spirit of the herbs, if you will, within the traditional Ifa, Yoruba, Lokomi, Santeria paths. So it is impossible to be initiated formally, traditionally, properly into these paths without Aloroye and that connection back to Osun. He communicates Osun with Ishu of the streets by means of a series of whistles that is passed on from one Ilegba to the next. Some say he is Ilegba of the house. Others say he is Ilegba of the streets. When he is in the streets, he is said to hang out on corners with Ogun and Ochosi. He is described as a warrior, a hunter, slight of build, who lives on the riverbank and carries a bow and arrow. Sometimes a small metal bow and arrow is placed with him, and he can be represented by a porous river stone. When described as Aloroye, owner of constant complaints, he works with Arumila, and he is credited with saving the life of Arumila. He sees and knows all and uses this ability to divert and avert all dangers and sicknesses and to manage and master business dealings. Ilegba Aloroye Akukilijibiju.
Anybody there? Anybody there?
My apologies. I don't know why I'm getting so many phone calls right now. Ish Ilegba Aloye Akuki Libiju, Ilegba, owner of Constant Complaint, Entangler, who shouts to drive away evil best, is the name of an aspect of Ilegba as a child. He has a tendency to be spiteful, and when annoyed with the person with whom he lives, he can cause police to pay visits. And many of these paths, when properly understood and translated, often will have names and spiritual limerick within the names, which suggest opposites, if you will, some positive with a negative. He can stop a force, he can draw a force, he can open a door, he can close a door. And it not only speaks to the mystery that is Legba, Ishu, Ibarra, Ilegwa, and the many names that he travels under, but it also speaks to the elusive but consistent nature of change within life. Many people adopt these paths out of struggle or in seeking a resolution to a block or a struggle or an illness, whether it be physical, spiritual, love and relationships, financial, career. But as Iya Yemaya, our caller, talked about, for many of us, it's much deeper than that. It becomes every waking aspect, every detail of who we are, of our lives, of our very existence. It's intermingled, interwoven with the texture of these traditions and these paths. It becomes a lifestyle. And we use those words, you know, loosely now in our common society. But I mean, indeed, a true lifestyle. It infects not only what we do, how we live, how we dress at any given day or time, how we eat, how we operate when we are in commune with other people, when we are in the street, when we are in business. It is not something that we can sort of compartmentalize in the way that Christians and Muslims and some Jews find that they can celebrate their holy day and then put down the path to some degree in order to operate within the world of commerce and business in Babylon throughout the week. Particularly when we think about and talk about Legba, and within any of these traditions, Legba should be number one. I realize that Legba is not always number one, but Legba should be, traditionally, is the foundation of all of these paths, that he be acknowledged at the beginning and in many paths at the end. So when we invite this spirit into our lives, into our homes, into our being, much in the way that Christians delight in inviting the spirit of Jesus into their homes and into their lives and into their beings, we must ask, what would Legba do? What is Legba's message? What is Legba's meaning? Rather than sort of take him on as a amulet of some sort, as a charm for bringing about those things which feed our pleasures, our wants, and our common need. Indeed, he fulfills that role for many of us. And when I find that I am experiencing a block in anything, I often, if not always, go to Legba first and make sure that Legba's needs are attended to, has been fed properly, the altar has been cleaned appropriately, He has been given light and smoke and libations and all the things that we connect with these deities with, but also to communicate. And that's why I asked Yemaya about her means of communicating with the deities. For those of us, as she has, who have been initiated, we receive a means of communication with each deity. Some are used differently than others. In the case of Inlay, it's not even used at all, but he has a mouth, but speaks through Yemaya. As well, again, in Voodooan, Haitian and New Orleans Voodooan, the deities often speak directly through the priest, who is the Bokur, the Bokinan, the Mambo, the Hogan, and can speak through tools of divination. Some voodoo priests, some Mambos use cards, as hoodoos do, regular playing cards. Some do use cowries. Many use bones, shells. But there must be a way to interact with and communicate with the deities in order to have some sense of clarity. So that is a essential aspect to communicating and operating with these deities, is having a means of communication. I do apologize. I'm trying to chat with two different people and talk at the same time. So just give me a second. I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to come back, okay? And I am entertaining your calls at area code 347-215-8967. Do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will be forward. All is indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Oguye.
at you played many tricks, at you made kindred people go to war, at you pawned the moon and carried off the sun, at you made the gods strive against themselves. But Edu is not evil. He brought us the best there is. He gave us the Ifa Oracle. He brought the sun. But for Edu, the fields would be barren. And this is a translation of an Oriki Ishu or narrative praise poem for Ishu, as quoted by Henry Louis Gates. The commercialized, popularized persona that is Eshu, that is Echu, that is Ilekwa, that is Legba, is one of this trickster, if you will. Some say playful, some say a little bit more malevolent, who brings about troubles. When indeed, Eshu is the messenger who helps to bring clarity to any given situation. Indeed, we cannot divine within the traditional Pan-African diaspora without his involvement on some level, without his ability and his divine gift to carry our messages between Earth and the spirit realm, between humanity and the deity. So his position, if you will, in healing, in spirit work, in technology, in education cannot be overstated. His ability to help us to see ourselves in the most real, most authentic sense of who we are cannot be overstated. His role as a teacher, the first teacher, the master teacher, through life lessons must be shared, must be made known, must be spoke of in order to bring some balance to the imagery that is Ishu. Something, some messages, some sense of awareness can only come through receiving these traditions properly and in the right perspective. And the reason for that is when you talk about forces, and when I use the word volatile, I don't necessarily mean negative or out to do harm volatile. Gas is a volatile substance. Acid is a volatile substance. Laser light, if you will, is a volatile substance. Yet we all hold a laser pointer, or many of us hold a laser pointer mouth in our hands. So we learn fire is a volatile substance, but we learn to adjust to and operate within these powerful forces within our level of awareness and knowledge and the technologies that are available. And this must be applied when doing any sort of ritualized work. And ritualized work requires intense faith, intense belief, intense understanding and knowledge. But it is a separate thing from faith-based work, which does not require much understanding. The Bible says if you have the faith of a mustard seed, which again suggests that within that framework of understanding and healing and power, it doesn't require your understanding it to any degree. It requires just your sort of surrendering to it and sort of allowing things to take their course. Whereas we do that on some levels within these ATR and ritualized paths, there's another more empowering aspect, which was one of the draws for me to these traditions, and that is that we are never victims, that we are never just helpless, that we are never just observing, just waiting, just buying our time, just in faith, for things to change, things to happen. Even the Bible says faith without works is dead. So we must, particularly in these ritualized traditions, be actively participating in the process. We must keep up our schedules of prayer and meditation and attention to the deities and to the needs of the deity. For many of the world doctrines, they have a book and maybe some type of icon of various sizes, but can be compartmentalized to some degree. Within these traditions, we often have altar work and shrines for which we acknowledge have some physical representation and some physical gateway, doorway, to access these forces, which I think for many of us is a good thing because it helps to solidify, if you will, the process of involvement with spirit, the constant reminders of spirit, whether they be your elekis or your shrine or the different implements that we use and that symbolize the forces represented within these traditions. So it sort of works on both your analytical reasoning, mathematical, logical, left brain activity, as well as that intuitive, spiritual, naturally receptive, right brain activity at the same time. I often tell many the story that I would not have gotten through school, through college, without these traditions, without crystal. And that knowledge of being able to activate and operate within that left brain energy, with the writing, the note-taking, the reading, the paying attention, but also with that right brain energy, the spiritual side, I would carry a crystal. I would focus on energy as well as the specific information that was being presented. Consciously being aware of drawing that in. And I have proof that it helps me. It's in my grade. It's in my transcript and that of many others. So there are many lessons that come with Legba and the warriors and the receiving of these deities and these forces traditionally within these African-based traditional paths and religions. I am taking your calls at area code 347-215-8967. Inya Yemaya, your hand is raised, so I'm going to come to you first right after this show. And all others, again, 347-215-8967. Do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. This will alert me that there is a caller in queue, and I will be forward momentarily. All is a blessing. Ashe.
Papa loco mwe mla wiago e. Papa loco mwe mla. Brena si ba debole si breno bata la wama. Il est beau faire pour nous, là, bon Dieu va aider nous. Thank you.
Okay, Erico 314, you will be next right after this song. And just before I go to Erico 314, I do want to remind you that the show does continue to stream past 2 o'clock, but you must be on the phone lines at Erico 347-215-8967. You should call in now if you want to hear the rest of Are Your Doors Opening and Closing or Revolving? Papa Labor Knows All, here with the Divine Prince on the Power Lunch, Hoodoo New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes at 12 noon U.S. Central Standard Time. You must be on the phones now. They will be locking those phones shortly, and then you will not be able to hear the next hour of the show. Area code 314. I'm going to assume that's St. Louis. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Doris from St. Louis.
Peace and blessings, beloved. How may I assist you?
Well, I'm ready for the next step. I have my visions and intuitions and guidance, and I see forms wrapping around me. You know, I see the spirit coming into my room, and
yeah.
I was just wondering, am I, are they part of me? Am I moving forward, or am I stuck? Moving forward.
Now, it sounds to me like you definitely are moving forward. Now, as with the other caller, I need to ask you a couple of questions.
Okay.
Are you formally initiated or associated right now with a religious path?
Well, I was baptized Catholic, but I was in a spiritual group and initiated with the next group.
Okay, but not a formal traditional path. So I think it's important that you have, as I said with the other caller, not only a means of communicating with your visions, not just having them, not just experiencing them. You need to be able to record them. You need to be able to communicate with them. You need to be able to test them. And that can be done by yourself, but it cannot always be done by yourself. There are deeper levels of trance and visionary work and prophecies that require an assistant. Once you get to a certain level of trance work, you can't sort of write and notate what's happening at the same time. You understand what I'm saying? So I always suggest that there be some foundation. I don't choose understand what that foundation is, whether it's a Christian spiritualist church or Ifa or Voodooing or Hoodoo or whatever it be. But you do need to connect with some group, a legitimate group or temple or house, so you can have some sort of guidance, if you will, as it relates to distinguishing the different realms of spirit. Different levels of spirit will come to you to speak, whether it's in prophecy or vision work. The previous caller, Iya Yemaya, was very clear that she was dealing with an archangel. So that, again, that gives her at least a roadmap for understanding how to work with that spirit. Now, you are coming through a little bit differently than her. To be quite honest, you feel very akin to me. So I would not be surprised if this is not your first encounter and that you've had an encounter with a variety of spirits. Now, whether you can identify them, that's a separate issue, and I can help you with that. But you definitely feel more like the classic reader, if you will. You also feel to me to already provide a service. Whether you're asking what you're worth or not is again, another issue. But people are already coming to you for your advice. And if you aren't already going at that in a professional manner, you really should be. There is no contradiction in spirit providing you with an occupation which heals, which nurtures, which helps, but also helps you meet your financial ends. There's no harm in that. And if you haven't done so, your door of opportunity is open right now for you to start moving in that direction. But again, I think it's really important, as it is with all of us. I've been doing this 30 years, and I have elders. I have godparents. I have Mambo Lou and Papa Fonfon who guide and lead me, Bishop Dolores L. and many others who assist me as I continue to grow. There's really never a break in that cycle. We're always going to be someone's child, your mama, your grandparents, your elders. And if you have children, you're always going to be somebody's mama or daddy. Mm-hmm. You know, so we all fulfill many of those roles simultaneously, as Legba fulfills those roles, little boy and old man, simultaneously. So you're definitely being called as Iya Yemaya, but your path is slightly different than hers. I do feel you also going into ministry, a traditional African-based ministry, and you should definitely seek some guidance in doing that. If you'll give me just a second, for those who are listening to me online, you have about 60 seconds and you're going to be leaving me until tomorrow at high noon. Those who are on the phone lines will still be able to continue and hear the conversation. So what forms, beloved, of divination do you use, or are you channeling?
Well, I meditate. I go into a meditation with a white light, and then I see like a vision or pictures. I see pictures of different things, but I don't know how they relate to me. I find that some of them are not necessarily me. Like, it could be something that's going on in Egypt or Tibet or different forms and stuff, and then I see words.
Wow, that sounds like
I'm sorry.
That really sounds like me. It really does, particularly when I first started walking this path. Now, as I said with the other callers and all callers, are you keeping a journal?
Sometimes I'm not. I don't do it well.
Yeah, you
got
to.
I don't do it well.
You've got to make it a religious endeavor. And there are many reasons for that. Even if you remember the TV show Charmed, everyone has a book, has a grimoire, has somewhere that you record not only the secrets of your tradition, but the dreams, the visions, the symbols, because as you just said, they aren't always clear. And sometimes they don't develop clarity for you sometimes days, weeks, even years later. We have all, well, we should have all at least had the experience of deja vu as it relates to dreams. Being in a real life situation and then suddenly having a realization that you dreamt this before in the past. So
right.
often those things also work on a cycle, on a never-ending, breaking spherical path. So it's important that you write those down, draw those symbols as best you can, describe them as best you can in this book, so that over time you can piece those codes together. And everyone's codes are very individualistic. You really cannot go to a library and pull out a dream interpretation book and think that it's going to fit everyone. You know, we hear, you know, oh, well, I dreamt fit somebody, you know, pregnant. That's a very common thing, particularly here in the South and particularly here in Louisiana. But fish imagery doesn't mean the same for everyone, and it doesn't mean the same in every occasion. So I strongly suggest that you develop more discipline and add prayer and meditation to the process to sort of solidify that journaling as a religious part of your work, because it truly is. And if you are truly called as a reader, as I believe you are, and this also applies to Iyayimaya, you have to write this stuff down, because as you develop, you will have too much stuff to write down.
Right.
The greatest computer is our mind, but the fact of the matter is it's not mechanical. And
right.
depending on how we feel, how we're eating, how much rest we're getting, how much stress you're under, you begin to really take on a lot. So you have to have that journal, that book to fall back on. What was going on at the time when you had the dream? As you develop, you're going to begin to write down more and more details, what you may have been eating that day. You might have been fasting when you had a certain dream or a certain illusion. And some of these things will equate directly into magical work, remedies, healing work. So you're talking about almost pharmaceutical-like descriptions and prescriptions of things that you will begin to sort of put together based on how the spirits speak back to you in your journal. You will also speak back to you in your journal, because I can find that I can go back and read some things that I wrote, you know, 5 years back and sometimes swear I didn't write it. You know, who wrote this? This doesn't look familiar. You know, this ain't even my usual tone. Particularly if you are doing it immediately after coming out of meditation, immediately after waking up in the morning out of dream, where you're still in that foggy state, but you've programmed over time your body to function just enough so you can write those details down. And then, you know, a few weeks later, you go back and look at it, the handwriting might not even be familiar. Because you're sort of in the crossroads of spirit, if you will. So that journaling is crucial to your endeavor. And I invite, I behoove, honestly, both of you to contact me so that we can do some more formal work moving into the future to sort of help you all refine those abilities. And not only grow a ministry, but also grow a business. I think that's very important. We have many within our community that need all forms of therapy and counseling and healing. And quite often we're going to the system to have these needs met rather than to each other. And it's quite easy to get burnout if the processes of reciprocity, offering, donation, giving are not in place, so that you can break away, as Yemiya was saying, from the system and be able to give more to operating in that realm of spirit. I can remember a time when I was still working as a telephone operator where those worlds were beginning to collide, and I could literally be in the middle of a call and would be talking and reading my CRT and reading my script, but have, you know, volumes of information being downloaded, literally downloaded from spirit about all sorts of things. So I really needed that time to just get away from that and focus. And then also not have to worry about, you know, your bills being paid while you're giving that time away, you know, to spirit. You know, Christ went out into the wilderness, but he lived in a different day and time. He was able to find food in the wilderness when he was not fasting. People exchanged resources. There wasn't the linear connection to and almost addiction to currency that we have in this dispensation, which really makes religion and spirituality conflict for many people with careers, jobs, even sometimes raising your family, you know, and handling your business. I know many mothers who are getting up in the wee hours of the morning to do their spiritual work because that's the only time they have. And their families and their extended communities are not positioned and structured quite right to assist them in the process to bring some balance there. And that takes, you know, trust and a whole bunch of things, you know, to be in place. But I really do appreciate your call.
Okay. I was just wondering, you know, sometimes only once that when I was in, with my eyes closed, I seen a grid, like a matrix, a grid, and I was able to look in one of the, I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
No, it was a grid, and I was able to look in one of the holes, and it was like a white table. I was looking down into this hole in the grid, and it was a white table down. And I, you know, they showing me a little bit, because I meditate with my eyes open, and I meditate with my eyes closed, and I see different things. Mm. Like when my eyes are closed, that's when I see the faces and looking at me, and I might see a vision of like last night I seen somebody with a robe or something similar to a robe with somebody holding the edge of the robe, but like when I have my eyes open it's a different scenario sometimes. It's not necessarily vivid, it's just wider. It's so much going on at one time, whereas my eyes closed it's more pinpoint.
Mm-hmm. And it will continue to evolve and change and develop over time. Again, I use the word download very consciously because you will, if it hasn't already happened, let me break it down a little bit. There will be a whole synchronicity of things that will change. You'll find on one level your diet might begin to change. Your sleeping habits might begin to change. I was finding that I began waking up almost consistently at a particular time in the wee hours of the morning. And at that time, the only person that I had to go to was my mother, who was an ordained minister and an evangelist. So in her language, in her Christian language, she said God was speaking, and to get up and not try and, you know, make yourself go to sleep or, you know, go to the restroom and then go back to bed, but get up and sit in a meditative place. Now, as you know, because you have some experience with meditation, there are different types of meditation. You know, there are vision meditations, there are audio meditations where you're hearing, traveling meditations. This is a listening meditation where you really just sit and hear and listen and not respond. And people say, well, you know, it's 2:00 in the morning, you know, everybody's asleep, my husband's asleep, my kids are asleep, you know, I'm not talking to nobody. No, but you're responding in your head. So, so it takes some discipline to stop responding, to stop judging. And that's what you're describing to me. That's that next level of meditation where you're at now. Just surrender, pull back a little bit, within your consciousness while you're there. Don't overthink it. And just allow it to come and absorb, because it's going to take a lot of energy just to absorb it all, pay attention, to kind of gather all the details, and then bring that back with you so that you can journal it. That takes practice. I've talked about this on past shows. Many people claim they don't remember their dreams. That becomes from a lack of practice. A lack of practice, a lack of diet, not getting enough water, not exercising, and not being able to relax, which involves breathing. And then when you can do that, even in your unconscious state, we're going to use that for dreaming, when you're not physically, you know, up, you can still gather enough of your wits within the dream state to bring that information back. Because ultimately, I don't believe God, Goddess, Spirit gives us vision, gives us prophecy, gives us dreams just for the sake of entertaining us. You know, there has to be a reason. There has to be an explanation. I always question people who have negative dreams, negative visions, particularly readers who read for people for money and then don't give you any details, then don't give you any resolution, then don't give you any solution. And that, to me, is a red flag that even they are not doing their work. They're either not having authentic vision or they're not seeing the visions through to gain some clarity. And as I said, some visions will be instantaneously clear to you, particularly those that will come back from the past. But some are going to take some work, some piecing some parts together, some growing to a place where you can handle certain bits of information. I found myself waking up and going to the library the next day and going to the physics section, the chemistry section, the math section, things that, you know, bored me to tears in school, you know, which I have a whole completely different understanding and thirst for now because of this whole new spiritual path that I'm on. So you're definitely, and that seems to be the theme of everyone that I've talked to today. And I've often said my show is for practitioners, people who are already operating in ministry, or those who are being called to ministry, or those who still don't have a clue that you're being called to ministry, but you keep coming back and listening to this show. I typically am not a practitioner who likes codependent clients. And there's a big commercial market out there for that because it brings money. As long as you're constantly having issues, you're constantly spending money and going back to these people. So those type of folk typically don't stick around on my show. Once they call in and find if they can't get their quick read, they're gone. They disappear out of chat. They disappear off the phone line. But people such as yourself and Iya Yemaya and other callers who typically call this show, you are being called to ministry. It just is what it is. People have a misunderstanding about soulmates. Soulmates don't travel in twos. We come in families. We come in clans. We come in groups. So you all tend to be a part of my soul clan, my soul family. So there are many aspects of who I am that you are, and many aspects of who you are that I am. So you're definitely being called, again, to use these gifts for the greater good. We don't have these gifts of divination, of reading, of healing, again, for selfish purposes, for ourselves, you know, for our own entertainment, for our own, you know, friends and family. Ultimately, we have a greater responsibility, not only to the community, but to the planet and then to the universe. We are all structured together within that grid that you keep looking through. We are all structured together. And as I said earlier in the show about the Ilegba Laurel Ye of the street, one Legba speaks to the other Legba, and that's how they pass information. That is one of the secrets of Legba that many of our internet Orisha worshipers don't have that information because they haven't received the traditional initiation. So all of these spirits communicate, intercommunicate. So we must have collective sharing of energy, both in the physical but also in the spirit realm. You may have already come across the Akashic Records, which is a universal library of information which we all share. We all have heard there's nothing new under the sun. Well, what does that mean? It means that we are all storing, going to a bank in the spirit realm and depositing consciousness there. And we all have access to that bank, of course, if you have the right code, if you have the pass key, and if you have the pass key to the rooms, to the vaults, to the boxes that are open to you at any given time. But what's given access to that? And all true readers, psychics, spiritualists, Babalawos, Ianifas, Iyawos, Olorishas have a pass key to this stored information. That's how we gain accurate access and readings. If people's readings are being accurate, they're not gaining access to that universal bank of information. It will be impossible for us to hold all of that in our own heads. So it has to be shared among all of us. I was taught that that's why the gods created the human race in the first place. In order for them to manifest that God-like energy on the planet, they couldn't do it in one man. That is the issue that Muslims have with the Christ. His head would literally explode if he had all of God's wealth in his head. So that energy has to be shared. It has to be spread out. And the Christ, if you truly understand the scripture, said that. He said, greater works than I have done, you will do. I came not to show you me, but to show you you. And that we are all God. We are all divinity. We all share that commonality.
Right.
Are you with
me? Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm with you. Hello?
Yes.
I'm here.
I thought maybe you had another question. I'm sorry.
No, I was just listening. I was going through your tweet page, but it is that's true. We all gods, and that we all have something to do. And yes, people talk to me about different things, and I just start rambling out to let them understand that we are part of the source. We are part of the source.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not to be in fear. That's my message.
That's
we're not to be in fear.
Or in conflict with. You know, we've all have been indoctrinated, particularly we born in America, under Christianity, whether we practice it or not. So certain words cause a subconscious sort of pullback for us. Submission is one of those words, particularly I've noticed for some women who, you know, find that in a direct conflict with their strength. So I try to find other words to use. But submission doesn't just mean, you know, becoming weak to something. But as I was describing in the meditation, just relaxing enough to not immediately respond, to just allow the visions to come, the messages to come, the imagery to come, and be an impartial witness. If you're familiar, I'm sure Iya Yemaya is, if you're familiar with the Tabla Ifa, if you ever had an authentic palm reading, then you know that there are witnesses that are placed on the board. Delagoon also does this in Santeria, Lakomi. There are two cowries that are glued together. There's usually a stone. There's usually a shell. Sometimes there are little heads or little skulls that represent witnesses to Orumila or to the divination, to the witness of fate. Legba is always a witness. He's called carved into the board. And if you're doing Delagoon, where you're not using the traditional board, just the mat, then there's a figure or some representation of Legba. So there's always witnesses. And I noticed that, and let me be clear, this is not you or the previous caller. We're having a general conversation. And I'm sure you all have noticed this also, that these people who sort of make themselves readers, make themselves diviners, often resist the witness. And to me, that's a sign of questionable foundation, you know, when it comes to doing this. As you and Iya both said, we're only the vessel. We're only opening ourselves up, surrendering ourselves, allowing something greater to enter us, you know, for our own healing, but also the healing of those around us. And that's crucial to these traditions. So we must also be our own witness. And the journaling is a part of that. But also as we begin to develop at higher octaves and be able to operate autonomously, if you will, while we're in the dream state, while we're in the meditation. And I'm going to give you all, because both of you are really into this and you're hanging on the line, so I'm going to give you as much as I can today until y'all hang up, okay? another practice you all could bring into your meditation. I don't even necessarily have a name for it. I just tell people how to do it. It helps you to sort of leave your body. You want to start out with your normal meditation, and as you said, with your eyes open, and you want to examine everything that's in your room, you know, if it's the prayer room or your before altar, wherever you're doing it at. If you're at lunch and you do it on your lunch break, just take a photographic image of whatever is in front of you, and then close your eyes and breathe. Then open your eyes again and make you know, re-examine everything that's in your vision and then close your eyes. And then as you do this, each time you close your eyes, then remap everything. Put the vase right where it is, the lamp where it is, the candle, you know, everything in the same positioning. And for some of you, this is going to take several tries. For some of you, this is going to take several weeks. Because a common complaint I get is I can't relax, I can't focus in. And to remedy that, you have to have that journal. And if you can get the type of journal where you can section, that's great. Because you're going to have a dream journal. You're going to have what I call a creative journal. Some of you are getting book ideas, business ideas, art ideas. Write those down in a separate journal. Some of you, during your meditation, your grocery list starts popping up. Ooh, I forgot to pay this bill. I got to pick up this for the kids. You want to write that down. What that does is that tells the thinking part of your brain, that logical, reasoning, mathematical left brain, I acknowledge the importance of whatever that is that keeps coming up in the middle of my meditation. So by physically writing it down, you're sending the message that I acknowledge you. I realize your importance, but this is not your time. I'll get back to you. Symbolically, that's what you're telling your brain when you stop, write that down, then close your eyes again, breathe, and then go back and start again. Now, once you get past that point, the breathing, reexamining what's around you, then when you close your eyes, I want you to turn around and face yourself. Some of you are going to be able to do that quickly. Some of you it's going to take some practice. To close your eyes in meditation, remember everything as it is, but then see yourself and then see yourself facing yourself. And each activity, each time you do these meditations, the more you do it, the better you get at it. It's a form of exercise for your brain. Not only your brain, because while you're doing this, your brain is rewiring. Any doctor, any psychologist will verify what I'm telling you. This will stave off Alzheimer's and memory loss. This is an exercise for your brain, for your consciousness, for your spirit. Our imagination is not secondary. It is crucial to spirit. So we must exercise it. We must use vision. We must actively play with imagery in various forms in our consciousness in order to increase our strength in visionary work, in dream work, in prophecy work, and being able to see things clearly, not only for yourselves, but for your family, your children, your clients, your community, on your job, in school. I found that I was able to retain and recall imagery to do my tests and my finals and my dissertations because of this kind of work. And by all means, use your crystals. Use that amethyst, use that quartz, use that topaz, use that citron. Now, there's a wealth of stones, but those in particular go to the consciousness, go to the third eye, go to the head. Tiger eye even helps to, with that gold, brings that higher vibration down to the brown, which is the earth, so that you can actively use this stuff. Religion has really been whitewashed, and I use that intentionally, in this society, in this culture. It's just something people do. They pray, they go to church, they go to mosque, they go to synagogue, but it's not really science for them. And in our community, the black community, there's a war going on right now, particularly with the younger generation. Between religion and science. But the fact of the matter is, when you go back to Africa, when you go back to Kemet, Timbuktu, Mayro, all the city-states, science and spirit, science and religion, science and politics, science and medicine all went hand in hand. It was the same thing. So that's why I started reading science books, math books, physics books. I wanted to make sense of what was happening, what I was seeing, what I was learning. One thing led me to the other. You know, one religion led me to another religion, led me to another science, led me to alchemy, led me to chemistry, led me to math, led me to all these different things, and it began to make sense to me how they all went together. So the most valuable thing I can give you and suggest to both of you is the journal. You've got to do it. You've got to do it religiously. And I know you got a lot on your plate. You got families and schedules and all that. I get that. But even in fiction, even in the movies, even in TV, witches, warlocks, healers, sorcerers, babalawos all have books. You've got to record. And we look at the ancient African world, where things weren't necessarily carved in stone like they were in Kemet or written down in books. There was a great deal of memory and recitation. And we just don't have the time, and some of us the capacity, and others of us the chemistry, the biology, the diet, to remember all of this stuff. Those of us who have been initiated in traditions under Yoruba, Ifa, Santeria, Lukomi, who have Delagoon, who have a hand or two, who can read palm nuts, who can read Taba de Ifa, Opan de Ifa, understand that we've got to first memorize the 16 Odus. That's a lot for people. I know very few people who can memorize Bible scripture, let alone 16 Odus that have hundreds of sub-Oduns that go underneath them, depending on the situation and the person that's being read, that's being divined. So I understand the work and the responsibility that I'm asking of you all. that I'm suggesting, that Spirit is suggesting. And that is why many people don't take these paths seriously. That is why many people don't officially get deep into these religions, or they take them from what I call a voyeuristic perspective. You know, that we like the pictures. You know, we like Yemayav water and Legba and the Stoneheads and, you know, and all that stuff. But when you really start getting into the secrets, the mysteries, you know, people are at a loss. And on the one hand, some are avoiding the initiatory process. And it's a lot of politics that go into why that's happening. Finances, travel, language barriers. I get that. But then there's also, which I think is a conscious conspiracy of Babylon, to occupy so much of your time in foolishness and paying your bills and, you know, keeping your lights on and doing the things you need to do, that you have as little time as possible, maybe 3 hours on Sunday, to go to church. And anything else outside of that is seen as extreme. You know, tell your employer you got to take off, you know, for a bimbe, they might look at you crazy. What is that?
Right.
You know, tell your employer you're taking off to go to Bible study, they might look at you crazy. You know, and that's the quote-unquote accepted religion of Caesar. So, you know, I get the responsibility that comes with doing this right as a layman, but even more so for the two of you to do this. And by the way, both of your lines are open. Because we're the only ones online right now, but we are being recorded and archived. So I understand the responsibility that's put on both of you and those listening to not only be called to these paths, but then to know clearly that you're being called to a deeper level of responsibility in ministry. And I call it all ministry. I don't use ministry as a Christian term. It's all ministry to me, healing, community work, all of that goes into these paths, coming together to drum and to do ceremony. Those outside of our religion don't understand that one of the strongest voices of spirit is the drum, and that's why we drum so much. We have both Ifa and Voodoo ceremonies every day in New Orleans. A lot of people don't know this. We don't come together just on high holidays, just on Sundays and what you see me post in Congress Square. This is an everyday thing. Someone is having a real legitimate service every day here in New Orleans. So we make it as much as we can. And then with that comes other responsibilities, you know, the clothing drives and the food drives and helping kids get their school supplies together and, you know, all the stuff that comes at various times of the year. Like right now, we're doing Mardi Gras. So we're having 5, 6, 7 parades every day. And then behind the scenes, those of us in ATR, in traditional African religions, we're doing our thing. So it's a lot that goes into this. And then you add the internet on top of it, which gives us a wealth of information. It's a double-edged sword. It gives us a wealth of information on the one hand, but no clear direction of responsibility for that information on the other. And that's where we have to take it upon ourselves to be conscious about that and pure in our intentions for that. Right now I've been advising people to chant, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," and allow spirit, through whatever your path is, to speak clarity to you about ministry, about how we operate right now. I know there's a lot of hype and movies and media about 2012 and what it means and what it doesn't mean and all of that. But aside from that, this is a powerful year, aside from all of that. This is a powerful year and unlike any other. And this is a time where I'm seeing people seriously taking spirituality and religion seriously. And that's why there's such a battle for it, against it, to block it, to cut us off from it, to bastardize it, to get people not to take it as seriously as some other things that are going on, because this is a time right now when real power is being disseminated. So I bow to the both of you for your serious commitment to reading, to divination, to channeling, which are all, you know, different forms and manifestations of the same thing. I humble myself before both of you and the sacred role that you are being given to do this kind of work. Iyayemaya, you have books in your future. Absolutely. Caller from St. Louis, I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Doris.
I definitely see ministry, reading, and divination as it relates to that individual endeavor. As I said, you feel a lot like me, and many of the things that are happening with you that you relayed to me were happening, and where I see your path moving forward. So I would pray that both of you would, you know, continue to support the show and keep in touch with me and allow me to be a part of that development.
Okay. All right.
All is indeed a blessing. Both of you are now muted. I'm going to play some music until the end of the show. I will come back on the phone lines again if you all have a question or something else you want me to address before we go off the air. Usually, Blog Talk Radio will give us an hour in this after set, if you will. So I'm assuming we're going to get cut off at the top of the hour or just a little bit after that. So until then, all is indeed a blessing. I will be forward momentarily.
Africa, oh Africa. Great mother of the free. Meet Africa, greet Africa. Please hear us when we please. My mother, black mother, how and I will ever forget this pleasant place in Africa, where I and I live and don't regret. Before the mountain order stood, before the rising day, your love has brought us to perfection within this loving way, my mother. Black mother, to your breast we ever cling. For love, guidance, and protection, through the power of the King of Kings, my Africa. Africa, Africa, oh Africa, great mother of the free, meet Africa, greet Africa. Mother, please hear us when we plead.
my mother. Black mother. How and I will ever forget those pleasant places in Africa. Where and I trod and don't regret. Before the mountain that stood, before this rising day, your love has brought us to perfection. Within this loving way, my Africa, Black Africa, Sweet Africa. Thank you.
membre sa yo, ke mize sa yo, ek mwen ve. Oh, ki mize sa, ki la pen sa, mbrale. Mwen gen ti kok la chante nan mwa. Mwen gen pou la chante nan ve, yo,